really nice. Well, good morning, everyone. We are, of course, very privileged, and it is always a treat to have Joe and Kathy Saul with us. And they are the founders of a previous church that we were in. And let me just say that Tom Cooper and Diane, sitting over here, and myself, were all baptized by this Pastor Joe Saul back in late 1979. So that's just a little trivia for you this morning. Gives you some idea of our connection and our thankfulness for him and for his ministry. Joe is the founding member of the board of Grace Missions that goes back, I'm not sure exactly the date, you probably know that, but sometime in the mid to early 80s. And he was recently in Mozambique and was a speaker at the FIEL conference there, and that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. And he'll give us an important update on this. So I'm not going to say any more, but we're so privileged to have him. I'm going to pray and then ask Joe, please, to come and talk to us. Our Father, how grateful we are when we can gather as your people. We can gather around your word and in harmony of heart and the joy of the Lord, giving thanks for your work in the world in a place of darkness where the light of your truth comes. And we pray, Father, that you would help us in our understanding this morning, even of what's going on the other side of the world. We thank you that your truth prevails and that it is wonderful. We ask you, Father, to bless this time that we might honor you and glorify you and be ever more in love with our Lord and give thanks for your work in the world. Please bless Pastor Saul and help him as he presents to us the things that we would like to know. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I was beginning to think Jim was going back to those dates in 1979 to affirm how old we all are. So it's hard to conceive how quickly time passes. For me, it's very humbling to be with you today. I'm also very grateful for you. I'm thankful some of the young people, from what I understand, the junior high, high school, are in here also. And because of that, I'm hoping that it'll help stimulate you in your daily walk. What I want to talk to you about today is your ministry in Mozambique. It was my privilege to represent you, but it's your ministry in Mozambique. If we think of the Great Commission, we have to remember that commission was given by Jesus to the church. Obviously, the representatives of the church at that time were the apostles. But when we read the book of Acts, we read about the work that Jesus is continuing to do through the saints, through his spiritual body, the body of Christ. When Jesus talked about the fields being white unto harvest, John chapter 4, he didn't give an emotional appeal and said, hey, why don't you get off your duff and let's everybody go. What did he say we're to do? Pray to the Lord of harvest that he might send out laborers into his harvest field. So my question to you first is, who's more important? The one who prays, or the one who goes? See, the body is working together. When I read Paul's comments to the Corinthians, and you may want to turn with me in your Bibles there as we begin, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse Notice what Paul says, beginning in verse 4. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. So whether we talk about what's happening in Mozambique, or we talk about what's happening in Grace Bible Chapel in San Antonio, who's bringing about the results? The Lord is, because it's His work. And what is so amazing is God could just speak and it would be done, right? I mean, we see that in created order. But here's the condescending, gracious God who gives us inadequate, feeble vessels an opportunity to work and labor with Him. And so, He's the one that determines the ministry, He's the one that enables, and He's the one that causes the effect. And Paul goes on and says, in verse 14, "For the body is not one member, but many. And the foot can't say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body. It's not for this reason any less a part of the body. Or the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body. It's not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He desired." May I pause? If you're a member of the body of Christ, if you're an individual that has been graciously given eternal life by the Lord, God has called you, God has equipped you, and God has determined your function in the body of Christ. He doesn't call any one of us to be someone different than what He has designed for us to be. And as such, He says, verse 19, "If they were all be one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seems weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacks, so that there be no division in the body." God's way of doing things is radically different than ours. We give honor to the well-known members of the body of Christ. You know why they're well-known? They're the members that lack, have deficit. But when it comes to thinking about greatness in the coming kingdom, do you remember what the Lord said? As the disciples argued, who's the greatest? Lest you become like little children. The greatest among you will be the servant of all. When we think of your ministry in Mozambique, I say that because the effectiveness of that ministry was that people all throughout the world were praying. Because you as a church fellowship contributed, it gave me the privilege of representing you and going. Which member of the body is more important? It is your ministry in the body of Christ for God to accomplish His glory. It's a joy to see what God's doing in other parts of the world. But I am convinced that when we stand before the Lord in glory. Members of the body of Christ that we thought were so valuable and important might not be the ones receiving the honor, but the ones who were servants of all, working behind the scenes. These are the greatest in the kingdom of God. And it's for that reason I thank you for giving me the privilege of representing you, and am humbly appreciative of your prayers for me, for that ministry there, and for the way you have faithfully prayed for God's work in Mozambique and have contributed to what the Lord is doing. So with that in mind, let's talk a little bit about your ministry in Mozambique, an update, and what we were able to see as had a few days there. Just another aspect of introducing it, I was not anticipating being in Mozambique this year. What a blessing it was to have that opportunity last year. And in the providence of God, the circumstances were such that a speaker from Brazil had to cancel. And it was at the last minute, and Charles contacted me to ask if I would come in, sit in the bullpen, to be ready if the need might arise. Because the other keynote speaker was Paul Washer, who suffered a massive heart attack about 10 years ago, has some arthritic problems, is not of best health, and not sure how he would endure the trip and the demands of the conference. Thankfully, God undergirded Paul, did very effectively, and it was a privilege to minister alongside of him. So with that introduction, didn't have a lot of time to do other things while I was there. Some of you have already realized I'm wearing my African shirt from last year because I couldn't contact the tailor this year. So, but I thought it's appropriate for what we're doing this hour. Mozambique Ministry, July of 2025. One of Charles's favorite passages that he conveyed to us when he first came to our ministry in San Antonio as a Air Force surgeon doing his residency at Wilford Hall with a burden to go to Mozambique. And his passage comes out of Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations. And what was a burden on Charles's heart was not first and foremost how many unreached people there are, but rightly so, God is being robbed of his glory by people that do not have a correct understanding of who he is. And his desire was to go and tell of his glory among the nations. Sitting in South Africa, in Johannesburg, waiting for the connecting flight to go to Nampula, it's where I was privileged in the waiting area to pick out Paul, introduce myself, and the two of us got to start interacting with one another. 2.5 hour flight from Johannesburg to Nampula. As I had mentioned to you the last year, the easiest way for me to remember Mozambique is, while it is on the east coast of Africa, if I think of the west coast of the United States and go from San Diego up to the Canadian border, I basically have the country of Mozambique, just in distance. The capital is down in the southern part of the country, Maputo, which would be similar to where you'd find San Diego. And Nampula, I think you can see better on this slide, is up in the northern region and is the second largest city in the country of Mozambique. North of there, just to keep up with news headlines, is where ISIS has been very actively persecuting and killing Christians, as well as in the Congo, Nigeria, and some of the other African countries. Airport looks the same as it did when I went in the early 1990s. This is really the entrance to the property where the hospital has been erected. Over top of where the hospital sign is, Charles had a banner made announcing that the 24th FIEL conference was being held. Now that in and of itself is an amazing reality, that for 24 years now, there has been the equipping and really transforming of Christian leaders and pastors. Same walkway up to their home, and after 4 days of travel, I look a lot wearier than Paul. Paul, he only had to take 2 days, so it was easier, but that is our arrival. Julie's snapping pictures as we arrived. But the key was to be there with Charles and Julie and to see how things are with them and what the Lord has been doing for them. Because of it being shorter than usual, Paul and I both arrived as the conference was already underway. It began on that Tuesday morning. We did not arrive until Tuesday afternoon, and then hence why there wasn't a lot of extra time to do other things while we were there. Now, the conference itself. Basically, when the FIEL conference began, it was linked with a group out of Brazil that supply Christian literature, literature that you're familiar with, from the Doctrines of Grace perspective. And with that, they provide conferences, Brazil and in Portugal, and now have been doing them in the country of Mozambique. They have also now expanded to Angola. And the initial conference was the one in Nampula with the ministry of Charles. The theme this year was the God of the Gospel and the Gospel of God. The heart situation of Charles, if you recall when he was here for his bypass surgeries, meant that he couldn't have the conference in that summer, and so the Nampula conference is separated from the other conference down in Maputo that started about 15 years ago because of the number of people coming. And so he is able to determine on his own what will be the theme of the conference. And when I met with Charles back at the time of his heart surgery, we determined that there are certain books of the Bible that God has been pleased to use in dramatic ways to build the church. And so we settled on the book of Romans. 3 years ago, the conference focused on Romans chapters 1 through 4. Last year, it focused on Romans chapters 5 through 8. This year, it focused on Romans 9 through the beginning of chapter 12. And Paul is doing other messages related to the gospel itself, not teaching through Romans. That was done by myself on this conference, as well as another man that was there, both with me, and Jim mentioned he was there with him as well, Samuel. I sadly don't have pictures of them in their ministry during that time. This is one of the men that served as kind of the MC, overall director of each of the conferences daily. And I thought it'd be worth giving you his picture. His last name is Valoy. He goes by that name, Valoy. He is one of the men that went to seminary in Brazil and is now involved in starting the evangelical seminary in Nampula, along with two other men. But just to hear him teach God's word and the love that he has for the Lord is just such a joy to the heart to see how God is touching the lives of others. The conference this year, when we got there, our numbers were, I think mine was 725 or something like that. So we're talking about almost 100 more people than were there the previous year. The tent had side wings that were full, just a great mass of eager individuals listening to the teaching of God's word. The man to my left is from Portugal. His name is Vinny, but he was an excellent interpreter. Didn't miss a beat. I mean, it's always a joy, you know, after the first message I gave, mannerisms, you know, gesture, even before done a sentence, he's already started with it and just very effectively communicated that way, which is a blessing because you don't lose your train of thought or trying to think, what did I just say? What should I say next? Or how do I need to say something because they're having trouble translating it? So just a very gifted man. He is associated with the Fiel ministry in Brazil, and he also did the interpretation of the messages from Paul Washer. Just a picture of the students as they're listening and growing, very receptive to that ministry. Every year, Charles tries to take a picture of the participants, so this will just give you an idea of the number of individuals that were there. Was over 600 this year that were there. There were about 70 that had signed up, registered, didn't show, but still it was the largest attendance that they've had. Still a lot of focus on the book ministry and providing these works. Like I said, people you're familiar with, be it Lloyd-Jones, J.I. Packer, some MacArthur's works, etc. So well-known individuals that have been translated into Portuguese available for them. And they do not pay the cost for the books. That's another part of how you're ministering in Mozambique. The contributions that go to the Fiel ministry also help to cover the cost of the books that are being distributed to Christian leaders. And just a picture of some of those who were participants, who were very appreciative of the ministry and eager to learn. One of the great delights is hearing them worship. And for some reason, we can't get the sound to work. Because I did want you to be able to hear something of them. It's not as catchy to say the feeding of the over 600 as last year the feeding of the 500, but it's still amazing to me. It's the same tent with the bamboo partitions all set up. This year there were three lines instead of two. You have to remember they're serving these participants three meals a day. They have 1 hour for their time to get their food, eat their food, and then be back at the conference at each of the sessions. In the three lines, you had 200, you know, 1 through 200, went through line 1, 201 to end of 400, line 2, and then the last line was for those over that. They still use the same cooking method, and I mean exceptionally good food. You know, we had a beef dish, we had some fish that had been prepared excellently. If you remember from last year, there is a man who has become a Christian, who is an executive chef in Nampula, and he, during the FIEL conference, he takes vacation. And so he's one of the men working the fire pots, preparing the menu. So breakfast, lunch, and dinner each day. And here's just a picture of the people gathering in their lines to partake of the food that's been prepared. In the same way, Julie has done something that Kathy well remembers from when we went in 2010. That time, she pretty much by herself took care of preparing the cakes that would be for dessert. Now they have to prepare, I think it was they had to prepare 40 cakes a day, you know, big, large sheet cakes. She had a team of four teams in her kitchen, and each would be assigned a different flavor of the day or whatever. So they had chocolate, or they'd have lemon, they'd have pineapple. I think they might have had a coconut cake too, but each day you'd have different types of cakes that would be provided for them. And just these ladies working each morning to be preparing it. Because of arriving on Tuesday and then the conference ended on Friday, I was not able to be with them for worship that Sunday before, but could be with them for worship on the Sunday after the conference. You remember Hannah, she's still very active in the church ministry there, but what a blessing to Charles, just a humble, very gifted individual that does so many of the administrative duties. I mean, trying to catch Hannah during the conference, you have to be a track star because she is running from place to place, texting people, just making sure everything is going the way it needs to go. And when the conference is not going on, she is doing the same thing with the Operation of Grace missions. She also plays for worship on Sunday. On this given Sunday, instead of just the church that meets on the grounds each Sunday, that Charles is one of the leaders of, along with some other Mozambicans, two other churches. One was Valois Church, which is a recent church plant and growing, and the other was another seminary professor. His name is Bila. I'll show you a picture of him later, but these three congregations met to have corporate worship together and then a fellowship meal afterward. So somewhere around 250 to 300 individuals there for worship on Sunday. And Charles served as my interpreter on that day. I am very emotionally attached to this picture because the man in between Charles and myself is first fruit in Mozambique. And the Woodrows have been there for 35 years. And to see the growth, the faithfulness of Arnaldo to the Lord, his appreciation for what God did through the ministry of Charles to bring the truth, is just another way for you to rejoice in your ministry in Mozambique. Because one of the signs of genuineness in the body of Christ is the perseverance of the saints. And sadly, his wife has never embraced Christian truth. She's still a Muslim. But he has the joy of seeing his children walk with the Lord as well. Now, the other part of it was the seminary ministry, and in that ministry was asked when they learned I would be coming to do a special intensive semester. The man pictured with me is a missionary, or was a missionary, in Mozambique. Kathy and I met him for the first time, stayed with his family as well back in 2010. And Carl is now living with his family in Denver, but was there for the seminary intensive. And so I had 3 days and he had 1 day of different topics that he would do. What I was asked to do was to do a course on eschatology. And so we had about 24 hours of study in the biblical teaching on last things. In this case, Hannah was my interpreter. Some of the students were online. The picture doesn't show all the students that were there, nor does this one, which after we had visited and talked following the last session, these were the students that still remained, asked if they could have their picture taken with me. And just a blessing to see the questions that they had, the hunger for God's word, and the encouragement to see the already fruitfulness of a seminary that's being established in Nampula that exalts our Lord and is faithful to his word. We had a board meeting on the Wednesday before I left, and I have been asked to serve as the interim president of the seminary board just to help them get things formulated. I'm probably the easiest to pick out, but the person sitting in front of me is Bila, and he is one of the individuals that was trained in Brazil. Across from me is Valoy, and then sitting in front of him, as we go around the table, is Ibrahimo. Do you notice what we're eating? Pizza. When I met with him the first time, he said, can we go have our meeting over lunch? I said, sure. So I had no idea where we'd go. We went to a restaurant and had pizza. So this year, we're going to have our board meeting. We sat for about 4 hours for that meeting. And they said, we're going to do it at a restaurant. Guess where we were? We were having pizza. So if you want some really good Mozambican food, go get yourself a pizza, because it's very similar to what we can eat here. I think there is a bright hope for tomorrow when we think about the ministry that's happening in Mozambique. The first thing is, I think we all, with really humble hearts, should thank the Lord for Charles and Julie. 35 years. And if you followed their news updates that I know haven't been very frequent, but all the problems, all of the discouragements, all of the disappointments, and they yet remain faithful because of the love they have for the Lord and the desire to proclaim his salvation among the nations. And with that, they're very desirous of seeing what God will do to continue that work on their departure. Charles has some idiosyncrasies. It's really different than the rest of us, right? One of them is when he celebrates birthdays, he didn't celebrate what year it was. He always celebrated it as, let's just say a few years ago, he would celebrate it as, this is my minus seventh birthday, which meant he was 63. Because he read in the Psalms, God has appointed 70 days, or if he could have strength, 80. So Charles is in his 70s now. He believes he's on borrowed time. We are too. You know, I saw a good analogy that has nothing to do with the ministry of Mozambique, but it's something you may want to try sometime. And it was something that a former coach of A&M did with the guy that wanted to know, why aren't you pursuing jobs elsewhere? And so he asked for a roll of pennies, and they were able to get him out of the cash register a roll of pennies. And he opened the roll of pennies and put them on the table between himself and the other coach and said, you know, let's just speculate that we look at longevity, you'll probably live 85 years. So we're going to take 15 of those coins away. And he said, now how old are you? And he said, well, I'm 57. So, okay, let's take the 57 away. So the coins that are still on the table, if God gives you 85 years, is how long you still have to make an impact in this world. See, I don't have many coins on the table yet. And some of you don't either. Some of you don't realize life is but a vapor, and you'll soon be having people talk about what happened back 40 years ago. Charles is well aware of that, earnestly praying that God would raise up individuals that could continue the work the Lord is doing in Mozambique. This picture is part of that reality. Seated with Charles and myself is Paul Washer, in between us and the man to Charles's left. His name is Ty. Ty is the African director of Heart Cry Ministry. And obviously Paul initially was a missionary in Peru for 10 years, and then the Lord opened other doors for him and began this worldwide ministry of Heart Cry. They are looking to be involved in ministries where they see the hand of the Lord is at work. In some ways, it would be an understatement for me to say Paul was blown away with what he saw God doing through Grace Missions in Mozambique. And even while they were there, talked about ways in which Heart Cry can be involved in Grace Missions in the future. One of the first things they're going to be doing is giving an annual stipend to cover the cost of the books for the pastors, Christian leaders who come to the FIEL conference. He had meetings with Bila, Valoy, myself, and Ibrahimu about ways they could be involved with a seminary that's being started, and not just to help cover the expenses of the school itself, possibly a building where they can be located, because now they either use the hospital or rented facilities to hold their classes, to even provide, I guess we could say, scholarships for individuals that can't afford to come but show their giftedness in their various local churches, wanting to be involved in the hospital ministry to pay the salaries of personnel. And so providentially, not supposed to be there, just coming in to work in the bullpen, to have that time with Paul Washer, to see how God stirred his heart and the possibility of a future of Heart Cry continuing the work that God is doing through the Woodrows in Mozambique. Just to make sure you keep them in your mind, here is Ibrahimu with his wife, just that you have maybe a mental picture to keep him in prayer. Valoy with his wife and his children, and then Bila. They were gracious enough to have me over for dinner one evening. His wife is in the turquoise colored blouse, and his eldest daughter's closest to the front, and his two young sons. And then there was a man from, I believe he's from Beira, which is a couple hundred miles away, who had come for the seminary courses and the FIEL conference and didn't have a place to stay. And so Bila and his wife took care of them. Before I say much about this picture, I want you to turn with me to the book of Revelation. Revelation I'm going to go to Revelation chapter 7 initially. After the sealing of the 144,000, notice what the Lord revealed to John when he said, "After these things I looked," verse 9, "behold a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Now turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. Verse 22. 21 and 22 of Revelation give us a picture of not heaven, but the new heavens and new earth. And John said, "I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of sun or of moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. In the daytime, for there will be no night there, the gates will never be closed, and they will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it." It impresses me that God is going to still demonstrate distinctions among those that are redeemed by the Lamb. Not in a hierarchy way, that this national group or this ethnic group is better than the other. But God, in his creative ways, has made distinctions in the ethnicity of different people, hasn't he? One of the things I really appreciate about the ministry that's been happening in Mozambique, although some of the hymns are ones we'd be familiar with here, is they haven't tried to make them American churches. We're not the standard. And the reality is, it seems as if even for all eternity, there will be distinctions in the various people groups that have been redeemed by the Lamb. And that's why it's such a thrill when we see the worship of people in different cultures that is pure and is genuine, giving glory and praise to the same Savior you and I both love and adore. This is a group of men, part of the group, because of the desire to be part of the conference in Mozambique, that take buses from a community about 300 miles away to come up and be part of the conference. And on the last day of the conference, they wanted to present the different speakers with a gift expressing their love and appreciation for the ministry that was held. And to do so, they, through their form of worship, came down the aisles and started gathering on the stage, not really understanding the Portuguese that well, nor their native tongue that they were singing in, wasn't sure, but Charles let us know what was happening. They would eventually be calling us up there to be part of them. I don't have a picture of us coming up because I had to put my phone down. But I think you would appreciate just hearing and seeing some of the distinctiveness of their worship.
Verse
does seem a little different, doesn't it? But oh my, emotionally it was thrilling. And the gist of what they sang was, Lord, we praise you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to be here and to learn. And the gentleman that you saw at the end motioning was the one asking all of us to come up front. And they presented their gifts to us, and then one of them, for about 10 minutes, just wanted to express their thanksgiving to those that enabled these speakers to come. It's your ministry in Mozambique. Isn't that what Paul said when he wrote to the Philippians? You know, no one has shared with me in the gospel except you. And I thank the Lord for your participation in this ministry. Now, how did they participate in Paul's ministry? They financially gave. He speaks about putting on the full armor of God when he wrote to the church at Ephesus. And he said, praying at all times for all the saints. And you know who what he asked for after that? And pray for me, that God might grant me the boldness. It's another way in which we're participating in the work that God is doing. And John picks up the same thing in his third epistle, where he says we ought to support such individuals because they went out accepting nothing from the Gentiles for the sake of the name, that we might be participants in their ministry. We're one body, and no one member is more important than the other. We're all functioning together that the one who alone is worthy would receive the glory. So young people, you don't have to wait till next summer to say maybe we can take a trip to be part of the FIEL conference. Your involvement in God's work in the world begins today. It begins with prayer. It begins with an attitude of heart that says, Lord, I want my life to really count for something. Here am I. Use me. Because the only thing you know you have is today. Not any one of us knows God will give us breath tomorrow. And we need to make use of the opportunities he places before us, that our treasures are in heaven and not on the earth. Sunrises and sunsets are beautiful in Africa. It's just another way God is at work for his glory. Thank you again for the privilege of representing you. How humbled I am for the bond that we have shared for so many years, and the blessing it is to have an eternal relationship with one another in Christ. May we pray? Father, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ our Lord. Life is meaningless without him. And yet, until you open our eyes, we're deceived by our hearts, we're blind, we have no comprehension as to what really matters in life. Father, may you touch the hearts of those that I've had the privilege of being with this morning. If there's any that know you not, that you'd grant to them that today is the day of salvation. And as young people are studying and learning, may they do so not just to gain a career, but to be a better equipped individual to be used for you. Father, we just thank you. In Jesus Christ our Lord, amen.